We are still early, huh? There's another 5 minutes to go before we start our puja. So I understand, the clan people, they had so kindly brought along a birthday cake for me to celebrate in advance. But tomorrow, not only tomorrow, Saturday, they got their offering of roll to the higher beings at Sumero. So most of them couldn't make it. So I was told by Richard just now, this cake is meant to be for us to have as a celebration for my actual birthday on the 31st, this Saturday. And it coincides with Kuan Yin's birthday, so we are having a puja at my house starting at 10 a.m. You are free, you can come and join. Then after that, we can have Dhamma sharing. Then you all can have some light refreshment. I think they will be bringing. Then the Kayamita Fan will be responsible for the whole offering. You don't have to bring anything. Okay. So today seems the puja. There's a lot of offering. Michael said a lot of food tonight. So you all should rejoice. Ah, yeah. And Michael also brought some very special, this what they call fruits, from Euro. Pomegranate, is it? Persimmon. Don't worry, don't worry. Yeah. Oh, can use this table. Bring this table over. This table. Oh. Look, yeah, yeah. Bring. Never mind. This one, the drink can put there. The drink can put there. This drink can put there. No, the drinks put here. Okay. Then bring this table. Then you will have enough space. Never mind. Just put on this one. Sadhu. Like that is just nice. Then that tray where you offer the incense and all those things can put on the table. Yes. Sadhu to all. Oh, still got fruits, mango, very good. So means fruition is coming, a lot of fruits. Wow, so much fruit, Oh, it's like the heavenly rhyme. The Sungo Kong on Hua Kuo San. Yeah, Sadhu. Yeah, Susan. Yeah. Is it the forces back? So we should rejoice with all the wholesomeness. And today, I don't know whether you all realize or not, just now, all of a sudden, very heavy downpour. Then, within less than 10 or 15 minutes, stopped completely. Because I was going for dinner with Seong and my wife. When we came down, entered the restaurant, no rain. Then after that, we sat down, pow, rain. Then after it started raining, my wife said, wow, so heavy. Seong also said, so heavy. So we thought we would spend more time there. But within 15 minutes, completely stopped, no rain. Then we came out. That's why we arrived here early. Then today your API is very good. Air pollution index. 40. So first time after so many days. Maybe they want to clean it up for the Thursday class. Puja. Because of your parami. So we should rejoice. Yeah. So today is a very auspicious day. Today, tomorrow, and Saturday, 3 days continuous. A lot of activity, a lot of people coming to see me though. Then Saturday is going to be a very special day. So those who are free, you can make it. You try your best to attend this Saturday's morning puja. We are coincide with Kuan Yin's birthday too, Kuan Yin Tan. 19th of September, the Chinese calendar. Once in 60-year cycle, no? So it's something for Kayalmita to rejoice. So tonight, who is the honored one, lucky one? If you all don't appoint anybody, we get Sui Han and Mi Feng to do tonight. Because tonight, who is Jin? Who is Jin Wong?
Jin Wong.
Huh? Oh, yeah, Jin. Jin, not Jin. Jin. Jin or Jin? Oh, Jin. I always call you Jin. Jin, huh? Yeah, Jin, Jin. Ah, okay. The two of them, huh? Hey, Richard and Nancy also come. Because today is the main offering from clan. We should get Richard and Nancy, then you two. And Jin, Jin, come. You all can have the honor to light candle, incense, and start off the puja offering. Our timing is good, so just nice. Okay. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. We can all stand, get ready. While we rejoice with the lighting of the incense and candle. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. The whole tray. No problem. Good. Oh, sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Offer to Sui An. Sadhu, sadhu. Sadhu, 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 the orchid, the orchid. Offer the orchid. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. 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 Sadhu, 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 on top, on top, on top, put on top. Sadhu, 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 sadhu. sadhu, 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 sadhu. Okay, thank you so much. Huh? You all can be seated. Huh? Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. You all can be seated. Huh? Then develop the faith. Compose your mind. Develop the sadha, virya. Then we will start off with the puja. Arahang sama sambuddho bhagava buddhang bhagavantang abhivademi. Svakato bhagavata dhammo dhammang namassami. Supatipanno bhagavato sakkasanggo sanghang namami. Okay, you can be seated. Then turn to page 4 of the puja book. Start off with the Vandana. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato sammasambuddhassa. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato sammasambuddhassa. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato sammasambuddhassa. Buddhang saranang gacchami, dhammang saranang gacchami, sanghang saranang gacchami. Dutiyampi buddhang saranang gacchami. Dutiyampi dhammang saranang gacchami. Dutiyampi sanghang saranang gacchami. Tatiyampi buddhang saranang gacchami. Tatiyampi dhammang saranang gacchami. Tatiyampi sanghang saranang gacchami. Panatipata veramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami. Adina dana veramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami. Kamesu micchacara veramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami. Osavada veramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami. Surameraya majapamadatana veramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami. We shall now chant the Padipa Puja, offering of likes. Ganna sara paditena dipena tamadangsina tiloka dipang sambuddhang pujayami tamonodang. Ganda sambara yutena dopenahang suganghina pujaye pujaniyang thang puja bacana muttamang. Vanna ganda gunopetang เอตังกสุมาสันตตินภูจายามิมุนินดาสิริปาเดสารโรเหปูเจมิปตังกุสิมิเนนีนะปุณเณนะมัตเตนะเชโหตุโมคังปูปังมิลายัตติยัตตาอิดังเมกายโยตัตตายัตติวินาสบาวังอาดิวาเสตุโนวันเตปานิยังปริกาปิตังอนุกัมปังอุปาทายะปาติกังหาตุมุตตมังเกตันตุเปชตินวิวาดูดะพุทธะเอสเปเรชั่น Understanding the significance of offering of light, we shall make the following aspiration. May this offering of light to the Buddha bring forth the causes and conditions to illuminate our mind and help arise the needed clarity and understanding to dispel all darkness of ignorance therein. Significance of offering of water. May this of pure, clear, and cool water lead us to the pure, clear Dhamma that cools and doses off the fires of all defilements within our mind. Significance of offering of incense. May our morality, virtue, and understanding shine forth far and wide, like the fragrance of this incense which we are offering to the Blessed One, who is perfect in wisdom and virtue. Significance of offering of fruits. May this offering of fruits remind us of the dana paramis of generosity and the fruit of our karma, so that we were diligent strive on to heedfulness to attain the path and fruition soon as possible. Significance of offering of flowers. May this constant offering of flowers to the Blessed One strengthens our faith and constantly reminds us of the impermanence of this body, so that we will diligently and sincerely strive on to cultivate sila, samadhi, and panya, leading to ultimate liberation, the bond-free nibbana. Overall aspiration. By the power of all these merits born of these offerings, may our spiritual faculties of Sada, Virya, Sati, Samadhi, and Panya be further strengthened until they become balas. Sharing and transfer of merits to all beings. May these merits be shared and transferred to all beings without exception, especially to those who have the condition and affinity to receive them. Sadhu. Sadhu, sadhu. Give your pay respect mindfully to Triple Gem. Buddhaṃ pujami. Dhammaṃ pujami. Sanghang Pujemi. Okay. You all can be seated. So just relax yourself. Body and mind. Yeah? Then maintain some form of attention. We can start our meditation after this. Yeah? We were off the light. Yeah? Then those who already know how to meditate, you can start straight away. Yeah? For those who need to train their mind, you can develop the training of the mind through whatever skillful means that you have developed. You need to decondition your heedless thinking. You can do it. We are using mind sweeping method combined with metta. The main purpose and intent of the meditation here is to develop the training of the mind to have this mindfulness, then stabilize it to be very, very stable so that it can be ever mindful. Then use it to meditate, to develop the wisdom and the understanding, especially the cultivation of the Noble Eightfold Path, which will include the four foundations of mindfulness. So with this understanding, you can proceed. Then those who need more understanding, you can read the Blue Book, Understanding the Meditation as Taught by the Buddha, the transcript book that we did. It was based on the 12 September 2013 Thursday class recording. So with that, we will save time. You can proceed with your meditation straight away. Then you can meditate for maybe half an hour. I will ring the bell after that. Good. Exactly 8:30. So half an hour's time, maybe we will finish off the meditation. For those still want to meditate, you can continue. For yourself and all, you can slowly, mindfully come out of meditation. Try to maintain whatever inner peace, inner calmness, and inner mindfulness that you have developed. Then you need to carry this trained mind state, which is the D, into the daily life. Then use it to cultivate daily mindfulness, leading to heedfulness. The mind that is trained is very different. It will listen to you. You want it to be silent, it will be silent. You want it to be peaceful, it will just be peaceful. Then you want it to be relaxed and aware, it will just be that way. The trained mind listens to you. You can use it. Use it to develop understanding, wisdom, and to meditate, to insight into the characteristics of nature, the impermanent suffering state and non-self, and also to understand clearly who you are, what you are, what is this five aggregate of form and mind all about, the two aspects as a human being and as the five mental aggregates of form and mind. When your mind is trained, it is very quiet, very peaceful, very still and very silent. And that silent mind is a meditative mind, it's a very simple mind. And we are going to do this Krishnamurti code tonight. Yeah? It will enhance your ability to understand what meditation mind state is all about and how to develop the understanding. Okay, now you can turn to page 6. We will do the invocation to the devas. I will read to you the English translation. Invocation to the devas. In this universe, in their entirety, let the deities or devas come here. Let them hear the good doctrine of the King of Sages, which gives heaven and release Nibbana. This is the time to listen to the doctrine. This is the time to listen to the doctrine. This is the time to listen to the doctrine.
Samanta Chakvalesu Atra Gacchantu Devata Saddhammang Munirajas Sunantu Saggamokkhadang Dhamma Savana Kalo Ayam Badanta Dhamma Savana Kalo Ayam Badanta Dhamma Savana Kalo Ayam Badanta Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Sammā Sambuddhassa
Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Sammā Sambuddhassa Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Sammā Sambuddhassa Namo Yesu Bhagava Arahang Sammā Sambuddho Vijja Charana Sampada Sampanno Sukato Lokavidu Anuttaro Purisa Dhammasarati Satta Deva Manusanang Buddho Bhagavati.Swagato Bhagavata Dhammo Sanditiko Akaliko Ehipasiko Opanayiko Pajatang Viditabo Vinohitiสุปฏิปันโนภะคะวะโตสาวกสังโฆอุจุปฏิปันโนภะคะวะโตสาวกสังโฆยายาปฏิปันโนภะคะวะโตสาวกสังโฆสามีจิปฏิปันโนภะคะวะโตสาวกสังโฆยะติตังจัตตาริเธอภูริสาปุคะลาเอสาภะคะวะโตสาวกสังโฆอะหุเนปาหุนิโยดักิเนโยการณิโยอนุตรังปุญญังเกตังโลกาสาธิสาธุสาธุสาธุ Give your pay respect to Trimpajam.Buddhang Pujami. Dhammang Pujami. Sanghang Pujami. Okay, now you can be seated. Okay.Tonight, we will go through this Jai Krishnamurti code. You should have a sheet of the Jai Krishnamurti code in front of you. The title of the code is Quiet Mind, Simple Mind. If you can understand this code, it will help you a lot in your meditation. Then it can bring about understanding of why people cannot develop the correct meditation.And why thought-based meditation can never liberate your mind, cannot bring about enlightenment or awakening. Then there's another good news. I was told by Sister Padmasuri, the book that we are going to print, The Essential Dhamma of Lord Buddha, based on a direct transcript from the recording done during the Dhamma talk.Conducted by me at Brother Sia and Sister Nancy's house, Dana in Klang, on the 20th of June this year, will be ready tomorrow afternoon. We should rejoice. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Then those coming Saturday morning, you will receive them straight away. Then there are some who may also come tomorrow.I don't know what time, maybe 4 or 5 o'clock, to help do the flower arrangement and prepare for the puja. They will receive us. So that is the good news. This book, The Essential Dhamma of Lord Buddha, is a very good transcript book. It may be just a very simple sharing during the dana, but after the transcript came out, those selected short topic that I had shared with you all during the earlier sharing. Some during the Thursday class, some during Tuesday class, and some during the Whooping Jing Sunday class. They are already so beautiful. Then there are a lot more inside there. Yeah? So when this book come out, please spend some time, go through it, read it through slowly, reflect on it, contemplate on it. You may have heard the talk, you may have some of you read through the transcript, the draft one earlier on. But you will be very surprised when the real transcript come out, and when you have the faith, when you read through it again, it is going to be very different, and you have a lot of very deep, clear understanding of the essential Dhamma that the Buddha has taught, and from there you can progress very fast, you can penetrate the teaching very fast. So hopefully, yeah, because it coincides with my birthday, 31st October 2015, and the book is like meant to be. So it will be officially distributed to all Kayanamitas. And you all should rejoice because Kayanamita Pan printed it, and we should thank all those who have made this book possible, especially Sister Nancy and Brother Sia, who created the opportunity and the venue. Then Sister Nancy volunteered to do the transcript. Then many people help in the proofreading, editing, and many other essential work that need to be done, especially Brother Teo and Sister Pamasuri and Ingbi. They are very important in the finalizing of this particular Dhamma transcript book. So we should thank them. We rejoice. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Also, you all can rejoice with your own wholesomeness because Kayanamita Fund donated towards this printing. So all this wholesomeness can bring forth great condition for you all to make the appropriate aspiration for whatever condition that may help you to progress along the path of Dhamma. Then if you want to invoke the power of merits and blessing for other things, you can also make use of it. So this is just an announcement. Now you can turn to the Krishnamurti code, then we will share it. Quiet mind, simple mind. Who has good English? Who can read this very clearly? Anybody? Brother Sia, you want to try? Or Nancy? Whose English is good? Brother Sia can. You just read through. Then we will do the sharing. Yeah, proceed.
When we are aware of ourselves.
Read the title first.
Quiet mind, simple mind. When we are aware of ourselves, is not the whole movement of life, of living, a way of uncovering the me, the ego, the self? The self is a very complex process that can be uncovered only in relationship, in our daily activities, in the way we talk, the way we judge, calculate, the way we condemn others and ourselves. All that reveals the conditioned state of our own thinking. And is it not important to be aware of this whole process? It is only through awareness of what is true from moment to moment that there is discovery of the timeless, the eternal. Without self-knowledge, the eternal cannot be. When we do not know ourselves, the eternal becomes a mere word, a symbol, a speculation, a dogma, a belief, an illusion to which the mind can escape. But if one begins to understand the me in all its various activities from day to day, then in that very understanding, without any effort, the nameless, the timeless comes into being. But the timeless is not a reward for self-knowledge. That which is eternal cannot be sought after. The mind cannot acquire it. It comes into being when the mind is quiet, and the mind can be quiet only when it is simple, when it is no longer storing up, condemning, judging, and weighing. It is only the simple mind that can understand the real, not the mind that is full of words, knowledge, information. The mind that analyzes, calculates, is not a simple mind.
Thank you so much. Gracias. Sadhya, sadhya, sadhya. It's a very beautiful, delicate. You can understand this. It will help you a lot in understanding your mind, in understanding what constitutes meditative mind, and how you should train the mind to develop the understanding of the essential Dhamma that the Buddha has taught you. And this is how wisdom can arise. So how to develop the training of the mind so that it can be quiet and simple. So before we go into this, what is your understanding of a simple mind? What do you think is a simple mind? Quiet mind, I think most of you know. What is a quiet mind? A mind that doesn't talk, is it quiet? It doesn't talk, but it chatter a lot inside there. That's why it's still not quiet. It is still heedless, think a lot, constantly arising, the mental chattering. And thought is something you cannot understand until you really meditate into it and penetrate into it. Living beings take for granted what thought is because they have been using thought since birth until now. And they become more and more aggressive in the way they use thought, because through their delusion, through their lack of understanding, they use thought wrongly. That's why the user of thought is very important. When the user of thought is deluded, what happens? Thought becomes evil. And out of that delusion, you use thought wrongly. So that's how suffering comes about. That's how all of your problems come about. But when you understand clearly what thought is, the various limitation of thought, and how thought condition you into what you are believing in, thinking and all those things, and through delusion, you keep on arising this wrong thought. And because they are wrong thought, they will condition your fear, your worry, your anxiety, your sorrow and your lamentation, your misery. Then it will create delusion in you to grasp, to cling, and to hold. So all this brings about the suffering that living being has to undergo. That's why the Buddha said there is a noble truth, the first noble truth of dukkha, that explains clearly to you the prevalence of suffering. And suffering can arise when you confront the eight realities of life and existence without wisdom, without this teaching of his. And because of self-delusion, living being grabs, cling and hold to this five aggregate of form and mind, leading to all the problems in life and suffering in life. So this is how your mind become complicated, sophisticated, no more simple. The mind that is quiet and simple doesn't have all this delusion and conditioning. It is just naturally peaceful, silent, and just aware within to observe, to listen, to develop understanding. Actually, you don't have to do anything. The natural state of mind is already peaceful, already aware, capable of understanding. But living beings are very impatient. They think a lot, they worry a lot, they got so much craving, wrong view and conditioning. That's why they want to do all those funny things. They want to comment. They want to react to all of the sense experience that arise. Then because they cannot understand what is going on, they carry on this delusion. Then they build the me and the I, which is the self. So this self-delusion, which is Sakkaya Ditti, which is the personality, the egoic mind, constitute the me and the I. And because of that, you think you exist. Yeah. That's why that mind become selfish, greedy, possessive, capable of emotional negativity, and at times can be insecure and full of fear, worry, anxiety. That's how suffering comes to be. So now Krishnamurti said, if your mind is not quiet and not simple, you cannot understand life. You cannot develop the understanding of who you are and what you are. He called it self-knowledge. And you cannot understand the way of thought, how the egoic mind functions, how it leads to all the suffering and misery. So this is a very important Krishnamurti quote that we have to pay attention. So first aspect, quiet mind means not only it don't talk, it will not chatter, it will not do whatever activity within. It is completely silent and still. That is a quiet mind. When you are quiet both mentally and verbally, then you are really quiet. You can be verbally quiet without speech, but mentally you are not quiet. You think a lot. You chatter a lot inside. And you are very heedless in the arising of thought. So this part, you have to bear in mind. That's why meditation is about training your mind to be peaceful, to be silent, to be in a state of relaxed inner awareness without thought, to be in sati. Then you have to stabilize this. Then simple mind. What is a simple mind? Now we come to this second one, simple mind. What is a simple mind? Just now you answered quite well, Quiet mind. Some of you got the understanding. What is a simple mind? How is it like to have a simple mind? Come, discussion. Try, don't have to worry about your answer. What to you is a simple mind? Louder. Pass the mic over. Who is the one just now? Susan. Pass to Susan. Very good. You should try. What is your understanding of a simple mind?
Yeah. A mind not filled with thoughts, knowledge, mundane knowledge.
Yeah, yes. Very good. Yeah. Some more?
not judgmental.
Very good. All these things. Yeah, very good. Anything else?
Without duality.
Yes. Very good, that one. That's why your mind is simple. Understand that? You can off it. Push it down all the way. Thank you. So a simple mind is not a sophisticated mind, understand? Or a complicated mind. That's why life is very simple. Meditation is very easy and very simple. But how come human being cannot understand life and cannot develop the meditation? Because they are not simple, understand? They make themselves complicated. Everything also want to know. There are a lot of right and wrong. Yes, let Ing be try. Sadhu.
Simple mind is the mind is doing one thing at one time.
That one is depends on the understanding. You can do one thing at one time when you have the understanding, then that mind is a simple mind. But when it don't have the understanding, he can do one thing at a time, but he can be very sophisticated. So that aspect you need to qualify yourself. If you have the understanding, the wisdom and the mindfulness and the heedfulness, then yes, then you understand your mind can only do one thing at a time. Either you are lost in thought or you are heedless. You are heedful. Lost in thought means you think a lot, you are heedless. If you are not doing that, then you are heedful. You are just aware within the moment so that you can understand what is going on. And that mind that is attentive without craving, without desire, without wanting to command or know anything is a simple mind. So you give example of a simple mind. All the mother should know. When you give birth to your child, very simple, the baby don't know anything. So what does the baby do? He don't have cunningness. He don't have all the knowledge. He don't have all the memory. That's why he's very cute. When he's hungry, he cry. Or he or she cry. Then when there is no problem, you feed them, you allow them to have enough sleep and rest, they will be very cute. When they wake up, the senses are completely open, simple, no thought, nothing, very simple. But you cannot live life with that type of mind. So you have to have a simple mind after you grown up, after you have all the conditioning, all the memory, all the knowledge. With all those rubbish inside there, and yet you can be quiet and simple. That is the meditative mind. That's why you need to develop understanding. If you don't have the understanding, you are doing all these things, making yourself heedless without you knowing it. So now I will go into the Krishnamurti quote. It's easier for you to understand. So Krishnamurti said, a quiet mind and a simple mind. When we are aware of ourselves, what is this ourself? What is this ourself? What does he mean? Your body and mind. You look at the form and mind. He's referring to your form and mind. Means you are aware of this entity, the form and the mind. Then he is more interested in the second aspect, the me. The mental fire aggregate that human being deludedly grabs and cling. So it's exactly the same as the Buddha's teaching. The fire aggregates of grasping, upadana khandas, they are the cause of suffering. And this is the second aspect, the fire mental aggregate. So is it when we are aware of ourselves, means this form and mind, the two aspects of it, it's not the whole movement of living away, of uncovering the me, the ego, and the self. Who is the me? Yeah? That personality that you deludedly grasp and cling on as an entity, and you think this is what you are. Yeah? True or not? Ever since you are born, how do they identify you? They give you a name. Straight away, you get your birth certificate already. Then after that, identity card. Then as you grow up, you have even a passport for you to travel around. So the identification with this form and mind, with this personality, with this self is so strong. And this is the conditioning. So Krishnamurti is talking about developing self-knowledge, developing understanding of this five aggregate of form and mind, which he called the thought. That's why the activity of the self, which is the mental aggregate of this mental five aggregate. So the activity of the self will unveil or reveal to you clearly what this egoic mind is all about, what Sakkaya Ditti is all about, how living beings get into trouble, how the mind is so conditioned to have all those views and opinion, belief system and all those things. So what he said here is very true. When we are aware of ourselves, it's not the whole movement of living a way of uncovering the me, the ego, and the self. The self is a very complex process. You agree or not? Yeah? Very cunning. You cannot identify it. It comes in various ways. And sometimes through the back door and very subtle. And it can make you violent, angry, miserable. Sometimes, of course, jump for joy when things go your way. But then, who is this guy that is going through all these things? What is the thing that brings about all these things? Of course, you say it's me, the human being, the form and mind. But it's mainly your thought. You know? That's why the Buddha said your mind is the forerunner of all things. When mind arises, everything comes to be. Then everything like real to you. That's why you start to grasp and cling at the phenomenal world, believing that it's real. Then you start to grasp and cling to your own form and mind, your body, because you are identified with it. And you worry about it getting old, getting sick and dying. And you deludedly think that there is a person inside there who think, and there is a person inside there who feel all this. That's why you can be miserable because of feeling, emotional because of the various mind state. That's why you try to meditate, to strive on, to have the good mind state, to have the peace, the calmness, the tranquility and the stillness. So a lot of people cannot do it. They go into energy field. That's how they get trapped. But when you understand, this whole process of meditation becomes very simple. So now you can please pay attention. I will read on. The self is a very complex process that can be uncovered only in relationship, in our daily activity, in the way we talk. True or not? Yeah? You can understand a person, even yourself, very clearly from the way you talk. Correct or not? True or not? If that guy is very violent, you know how he talk or not? If that guy is very selfish and deluded, you know how they talk or not? If they pretend to be nice to you, you know how they talk or not? Then sometimes you yourself doing all these funny things, with your deceitfulness, your cunningness, and your, what they call, they call it, like you want to deceive and cheat people. When you need help, they talk to people very nicely. I'm really sorry. If I had known that, I would not have done all this thing. It's my fault. Pretend to cry, then ask for forgiveness. the moment they forgive you, you behave the same. So the way you communicate, you talk and arise your thought, your action and your speech, people can see you. That's why Krishnamurti said, you can only uncover this so-called self, which is a very complex process, only in relationship. Means when you have relationship with people and in your daily activity. We are in the daily activity, you have to do a lot of things. So that me, the self, manifests in various forms through delusion, through selfishness, through emotional negativity, through all the evil roots. But sometimes you have good virtue, good qualities, good understanding, then it will become different. That's why the self, the form and mind, with the understanding of life, it will not do all those things. It's incapable of any negativity. So it is only through relationship in your daily activity, in the way you talk, in the way you judge people, and in the way you calculate. You know what is calculate, eh? What is calculate? Not the calculation you do. Calculate means what? When they say you are very calculative, means what? Huh? Very calculative, means what? Jijiao, means what? You only calculate whatever that is beneficial to you, understand? Agao ke kao, in Hokkien, clang people who understand. Agao ke kao, means very calculative, understand? Means you are very, very selfish, very greedy. You calculate for me or not for me, beneficial to me or not, to my family or not, to my company or not, to my race or not. So all this come about through the mind that is deluded. Then the way we condemn others, and sometimes you condemn yourself because self-remorse, you hate yourself so much. All that reveals what? Read that word. All that reveals the conditioned state of our own thinking. Now you know how you become what you are. You are so conditioned because of your delusion. You grasp and cling to so many things. All these are wrong view, wrong thought. So your conditioned thinking will condition you to react and respond, to behave, because of your views, your opinion, your tradition, your religious label, your belief system. All this condition you until you become what you are. Then what happened? And is it not important to be aware of this whole process of conditioning? How you become like that? That's why you cannot blame the external factor or other people. You cannot say, my mother lah, choose the wrong husband. That's why I born like that. If you had choose the right one, I would have become Bill Gates' son. They use in Cantonese, they say, Loma Ji M Sang Sing. But then, you are born of your karma, head of your karma. Even she married to Bill Gates, it doesn't mean you can be sure of becoming Bill Gates' son. And also, it's more or less conditioned who your parents are. That's why they say, law of karma decide who your parents are. But you decide who your spouse are. So, don't blame karma for everything. But conditioning from karma is very powerful. If you are deluded, karma is 99.99% influencing your life. That's why the Buddha said you are born of your karma, heir to your karma, conditioned and supported by your karma. And you are what you are because of your karma. So without wisdom, karma actually has a lot of power over the individual living beings. Then we go on. It is only through awareness of what is true, means the reality, from moment to moment. See? This is daily mindfulness. This is constantly aware, ever mindful. That's why you must be aware of what is true, means the reality within the moment, from moment to moment. That there is a discovery of the timeless, the eternal. So you cannot be ever mindful from moment to moment. You can never realize the timeless, the eternal, the true mind, the silent mind, the meditative mind, your Buddha nature, your true nature. That's why you cannot touch that one. Yeah. Then he explained to you why. Without self-knowledge, the eternal cannot be. You know why or not? Why when you cannot understand yourself, this timeless, this eternal cannot manifest? When you cannot understand yourself means what? Means what? What is this fellow? Huh? What is this fellow? Can see or not? Huh? This form of mind. When you cannot understand this fellow, what happens? You become deluded by it. Yeah. Correct or not? Then you don't know how to use it. You know? You think it's you. You know? That's why you become afflicted. You become miserable. Then when you have delusion and suffering, your mind cannot cease. Cannot be quiet. Cannot be simple. Whole day complaining, lamenting, worrying. That's why it doesn't know how to live life. But when you understand this fellow clearly, that it's not you, it's a tool and a vehicle for you to use, then suddenly no more problem. No more problem is what? You don't attach, you don't cling, you don't grasp, because this is not you. Then you can stay silent and observe and understand how this form of mind becomes deluded. How it is conditioned into delusion to do all those funny things. That's why how you react, how you respond, how you stir, how your cunningness and selfishness come to be. All through what? That self-delusion, that personality. When you start to see all this, then you realize this is stupidity. This is ignorance. This is delusion. And when this form of mind behave this way, do this, suffering will arise following the Mahapada verse 1. The law of karma will catch up with it. The evil roots will condition this form of mind to be very evil. That's why all of a sudden, when you understand all this, the mind liberates. That's why the eternal cannot come about if there is no self-knowledge. Understand? Self-knowledge is the awareness that allows you to discover the truth and the reality of this form of mind clearly. Understand not? Yeah? Can follow? Eh? So now this sentence is very important. Without self-knowledge, the eternal cannot be. When we do not know ourselves, the eternal becomes a mere word. True or not? Yeah? Yeah. A symbol, a speculation, a dogma, a belief, an illusion to which the mind can escape. That's why human beings, when they have problem and suffering, you know what they do? Only then they turn to religion. But sometimes, if their karma is not so good, when they turn to something else instead of religion, even religion, you can get yourself into a lot of trouble already. You know? But the worst is those who have negative karma, you know, they turn to what? Turn to medium. Turn to all the fortune teller, the feng shui fellow. You get yourself into worse trouble. And you turn to all those soothsayer or those that advertise on. Say, your life overnight can become very different. You come to them. Sometimes they can give you 4-digit. Your letterbox, I think you receive a lot last time they used to send. Then sometimes they even tell you, if you believe them, they sell you one stone. It can be 10,000, 20,000, 30,000. You have that stone, your life turn around beautiful. Everything go your way. You go and believe that one. So end of the day, all your money gone. And yet, the truth is, law of karma decide not that stone. So what will happen? That's why through delusion you get into all this. Then those who turn to religion, you know what they do? They become superstitious. Then they become so attached to that religious label, so conditioned by it. That's why he say, without self-knowledge, the eternal cannot be. Then when we do not know ourselves, means again, the eternal become a mere words. You only can talk about it. If I meditate, I will become enlightened one day. If I believe in God, I guarantee a passport to eternal heaven when I die. Then all this become a belief, a symbol, where you pray, where you develop the blind faith. Then you speculate. Some they even buy insurance. Maybe believe more religion, more chance of salvation. Just in case Christianity, the God don't exist, I believe another religion, that God exists. Or they say, maybe if Buddhism is the real one, I take refuge. So at least I stand a chance. So this one all become one, a belief, an illusion, a dogma, to which the mind escape to, anasana. So you escape to all this and try to discover faith. Try to calm yourself down. Try to compose yourself so that you believe. With that belief system or religious label, you feel better. You feel more secure, more peaceful. Then you hope from there your life improves. But all this will not happen if you do not develop the true understanding of who you are, what you are, through an awareness, which is moment to moment. That's why you have to be aware of the reality within the moment. That's why sati sampajana is the real meditation. Then Krishnamurti go on to say, but if one begins to understand the me, how to understand? You read on. In all its various activity from day to day. That's why you must have daily mindfulness to see all this. To understand the egoic mind, the me and the I, the sakkayaditti. Then how it conditions you into so much negativity, so much stupidity, and bring about so much problem to you. And that's how you become entangled, and that's how suffering comes to be. So you will start to understand the me, or the personality, or the egoic mind in all its various activity from day to day. That's why you become very clear about what this form and mind is all about. You see how it divides through words, through concept, through idea, through belief system, true views and opinion, then how is it limited? Because thought itself is limited. Then how it make you heedless, deluded, because it's egoic. Then when you understand all this, all of a sudden, Krishnamurti say, then in that very understanding, without any effort, see the word? Without any effort. That's why meditation, there is no effort, no craving, no effort to meditate, wanting to become enlightened. All this is the thought, the egoic mind. That's why without any effort, the nameless, the timeless, come into being. This thing can only come into being when the form and mind cease, when your mind is quiet and simple. That's why the whole of meditation is about training the mind to be silent. That's why I always say silent mind. Don't try to know anything. go deep into that silence, which is the relaxed state of awareness, not a concentrated energy field, a conditioned state of mind. Understand? Don't go and focus. Don't go and concentrate. Don't go and note this, note that, and do all the funny thing in meditation. Who is doing all this? The thought. When the thought is active, you are not quiet. Understand? When the thought is active, you are not simple. Understand? Why? The thought want to know, am I doing it right? Then the thought, a lot of comment. How come I think a lot? How come the restlessness is so strong? How come I cannot be peaceful? I cannot be calm. Because you talk too much. You chatter a lot inside there. Why must you question all this when you can't even understand who you are and what you are? The question will cease to be when you just silent. Then you go deep into that state. That's why silent awareness is the real meditation. Don't try to know. Just relax, aware. The four support. Relax into every mind state that arises. Then maintain the awareness. That's why relax, aware, 24 hours. Then after that, allow the nature to meditate. Trust. No more thought. That nature will do what it needs to do. And everything will fall into place. At the moment you're silent, the thought is not active, you know what happens? Your life force, your inner nature, that one will heal you. That one will actually transform you. That one is the one that is meditating, because it is already perfect. It already has the understanding and the wisdom. Provided your thought does not arise to interfere. Understand not? That's why you think a lot, even in your sleep, your subconscious and unconscious dream-like state. These are the manifestation of your thought process, understand? Your subconscious release, your phobia, your insecurity. All this interfere. That's why you cannot have good sleep, deep sleep. And your nature cannot heal you. When you are sleeping and resting, that is the time He's supposed to heal you and allow you to recover, recuperate. But because you cannot silence your mind, you don't know how to develop the good sleep. That's why people has a lot of problem. Insomnia, cannot sleep. Or their sleep is not deep, not peaceful. Then they can't really understand what is going on, even when they try to sleep. So all this, you will start to develop the understanding of what a simple mind is, leading to the quiet mind. When your mind is simple, it does not want to know anything. It just relaxed, silent and aware, so that it can understand. But the understanding will come naturally through that silence. Not through a craving, a desire to understand. A thought that is actively trying to become enlightened, trying to meditate, trying to note this, note that, and do all those funny things. That type of mind is active, not quiet, and not simple. Then we read on. But if one begins to understand the me in all its various activity from day to day, then in that very understanding, without any effort, the timeless, the nameless, come into being. But the timeless is not a reward for self-knowledge. And this one also you have to understand, no? It's not a reward, no? Understand, no? You cannot say, the moment I understand myself, the timeless will come to me. Understand, no? Cannot, because this is a craving. So it's not a reward. The moment the mind understands itself, you know what happens? The mind that realizes its own delusion will not act that way anymore. That's how it will cease to be. That's how you realize the timeless, that cessation, the enlightenment, Nibbana. So the moment you understand the form and mind is no longer deluded, then it realizes, he no me, he no you. Everything is just the way it is. Phenomenal world, condition arising world, causal phenomenon, empty. They have the universal characteristics of impermanent. The moment you grasp something and want things your way, which is not nature's way, suffering will arise. And because it's impermanent, it's not a permanent unchanging entity that you can deludedly grasp and cling and hold and say, this is me, this is I, therefore all this can be mine. There is no such thing. The moment the mind understands all this, it will not behave the old way anymore. That it will allow things to be, let things be. And the mind that realizes itself is no longer complicated, sophisticated, full of knowledge, full of views and opinion and conditioning. All this suddenly empty. Because no more meaning. Like the Buddha says, sabbe sankhara anicchang, sabbe sankhara dukkang, sabbe dhamma anatta. Very clear. All of sankhara is impermanent. That's why it leads to suffering. Any what they call whatever pleasant experience, sense experience, is a prelude to suffering. You know why or not? Yeah? Any form of sensual pleasure is a prelude to suffering. You know why? Because it's impermanent, true or not. If you attach to this good state, this very good state of sensual consciousness, or they call it the sensual, maybe pleasure is a not so appropriate word, it's a craving. But all your good sensual experience, they are a prelude to suffering. In the sense that it is impermanent, it's not going to last. And you attach and cling and want that to be sustained or to become continual. You will suffer because it is condition arising. When condition cease to be, it will cease to be. Like any other phenomena, it will continuously evolve and change. Then when condition cease to be, it will cease to be. So when you attach and cling with delusion, suffering will arise when this change happens. So what must you do? You must develop the understanding that everything within this universe, they follow nature's law. That's why in the Diamond Sutta they say, each year you wait for Zhu Meng Huan Pao Ying. That one is a very profound and very, very deep Dhamma. And you can understand that and penetrate that, you will awaken. Yeah. He said, our world is a condition arising world. Each year you wait for. We live in a world of conditioned Dhamma. All of conditioned Dhamma is impermanent, lead to suffering, and they are empty. Then they are like dreams, illusion, bubble, and shadow. And you cannot see them through your daily mindfulness, through your awareness in life, from moment to moment, then you will be deluded by it. You will grasp, cling, and hold. That's why you will suffer. But when you have that ability, then it completely transforms you. Then the understanding will liberate that form and mind. Then it will not be deluded by all this phenomenal world, condition arising world. Then it will have this wisdom to see things as they are, to accept them for what they are. That's why it's always at peace. the mind doesn't react, doesn't become complicated or sophisticated anymore. It will stay neutral in equanimity and simple. Yeah. So this is how you can develop the understanding. Yeah. So I will read on. Eh? But the timeless is not a reward for self-knowledge. That which is eternal cannot be sought after. Means you cannot desire it. You cannot chase after it. That's why I said the mind cannot acquire it. You cannot try to realize the enlightenment. When you try to realize the enlightenment, it's a craving. Understand? That's why the mind cannot acquire it. But when you understand and allow the mind to be quiet and simple, then all of a sudden, you will just manifest. But you need that wisdom, you need that understanding, that self-knowledge. See clearly and understand clearly who you are, what you are. Then from there, the mind that realizes itself will cease to be. It is just the mind that realizes itself, the mundane mind. Then it realizes all this got no meaning. Lead to sakayadity, self-delusion. Then no need to do anything, just silent. Then the moment you are silent, there is no more craving. Cessation will happen, the timeless will appear, the eternal will appear. So that's why the eternal cannot be sorted after, Krishnamurti say. The mind cannot acquire it, it comes into being when the mind is quiet. And the mind can be quiet only when it is simple. See, these two are connected. Simple means what? Krishnamurti said, when it's no longer storing up. Storing up means what? What is storing up? Accumulating through memory. This one not keeping in your store. You keeping in your store also is an attachment, you know, you cannot part with it. So you want to keep it, hold on to it. The worst is you store in your memory. That's why Mahayana are very wise. They say the cause of suffering, the second noble truth, is accumulation. Ku chi. When you accumulate as memory, what happened? Thought arise. Karma. Your thought is respond to memory. Because all these things that you accumulate, you hold on to. Why do you hold on to them? Because you believe they are real. They are important to you. You need to remember them. Even your phobia, your fear, your scars of memory, all you cannot forget. They are so deeply accumulated within the subconscious and the unconscious. And you want to push it away also cannot, because during the time when it happens, it is so intense, it becomes a phobia. Understand? That's why it go deep into your subconscious and your unconscious. That's why human being can have intense fear, panic attack and all those things, phobia. So all this come about because the mind does not understand. The mind is not simple, too sophisticated, too much fear, too much worry, too much anxiety, then too much sorrow and lamentation. That's why you go through all those grief, suffering, misery, and the mind becomes so stressed up, so miserable. Life need not be that way, understand? So this one is a very important understanding. It comes into being when the mind is quiet, and the mind can only be quiet when it is simple. Simple means what? No longer storing up or accumulating to memory. You are no longer condemning, judging, weighing, or doing all those heedless things. It is only the simple mind that can understand the real. Not the mind that is full of what? Words, knowledge, information. Who are these people? Very intellectual, very knowledgeable, very scholarly one. Who wants to challenge you and argue with you. To them, right and wrong is very important. knowledge is very important. That's why they commit to memory. They rattle the sutta or the scripture. Then they say they have very good knowledge of the Dhamma or of the teaching. So all this, if you mistake them for wisdom, you will be trapped because your mind is full of all this. Whereas wisdom, which is panya or understanding, is not knowledge. It is an awakening, born of the direct seeing, born of insight. You awaken to it, you don't think about it. It is not a knowledge. You don't acquire it through reading, through learning. You have to meditate, cultivate, then the silent mind awaken to it, etc. So that's why it's very different. Then the mind is not simple when it's busy analyzing, calculating. You know what is analyzing or not? Yeah? In the meditation, a lot of meditators do that. That's why they get this delusion. You know what is analyzing or not? In the meditation, you try to analyze. Am I doing it correctly? Is that what Brother Teo say? Am I experiencing this? Is this anicchang? Is this dukkang? Is this anatta? Then why is my mind not quiet, not peaceful? Why is it the heart, when I can hear the heartbeat is pounding so hard? This is all analyzing inside there. What are you supposed to do in meditation? Train the mind to be aware, silent without thought. You go and do all these things that create so much thought. Then you are told what? Note what? Sound. Hearing. Pain. You create more words. All this chattering. This is not a simple mind. This is a very complicated and sophisticated, deluded mind. Because it's not silent, not quiet, not peaceful. It's trying to know, trying to analyze. Then the next question, what must I do? Must I silent? Must I continue to endure, don't move? Then the thought keep on talking to you. Cannot lah, the monk very strict lah, I must follow exactly, otherwise I cannot reprimand. Then you become like so conditional, so rigid in your approach and movement. Means what? You are not natural at all. And you call that meditation. I just cannot understand. To meditate is to be natural. To be aware, to be silent within, to understand what is going on. That's why sometimes Kaya Mita even tell me that. But when I go for this spiritual trip, I think people cannot understand. The monk may not understand. If I lie down, how? A lot of problem. Because we do lying down meditation. Everybody sit, you go and lie down. How? You know what my answer is? Very simple. You do with understanding why you worry. When you lie down, you lie down. I wait till the monk asks you. Then you confidently reply. You say, this is the best posture among the four postures that the Buddha taught. I find it very useful, very conducive, and I can become very peaceful, very relaxed, and my mind very quiet and very simple. I tell you, you tell him that, he will be very interested in your meditation. So you tell him it's not the method and the technique, it's learning how to relax and silent and develop the meditation, whatever posture the Buddha already said. All the four postures, I can develop mindfulness and awareness in the midst of life. Then why are you sitting? Like the Zen, Nomiya, Zen, Z-E-N. If sitting can make you enlightened, all the frog will be enlightened. We all the frogs sit throughout their life. So this one will wake you up. That day I heard somebody talk about this famous teacher in Taiwan. He was from China. You all heard of this person, Nan Huaijing. Nan Huaijing. A very famous lay person. I think he was not a monk, but he got a lot of monk disciples. And he became very famous. He went to Ermesan to cultivate. I was told 3 years, the biography. And you know what he said? He tell his students, don't sit if you don't understand. Sitting will not make you enlightened. That's what he tell them. That's why people who know, they will understand. Because it is the sati sampajana, mindfulness and clear comprehension of all action, all movement in the daily life. That is the real meditation. So you cannot develop awareness in the midst of life. You are being heedless. You cannot be heedful. And the heedless are as if dead. So how can you meditate that way? Of course, during the Buddha's time, most of them would sit. And why do they sit? Because they started with that tradition in India. The Hindu and all those people, they sit. And why do they sit? Well, that is their natural posture, understand? During that time in India, do you realize no chair, no table, nothing? When I was young, I remember my house. I sit on the floor, you know. I don't know about you. In the small town, sometimes we're lucky we got a stool, small floor there, where my mother used for washing clothes and all those things. Then my father got a shop where he has to medical Chinese medicine, where there's a rectangular opening on the long bench, where he put the thing to cow you on, scrape, gum cho, all those things. I have to do it on. I have to put the rubber there, otherwise my palm can. Then I got this one. They all grind the pepper on. The ginging, the roller with the metal one, the long shape, V shape one. Then with the wheel, a very heavy metal wheel. Then with the arm on both sides. You're supposed to sit and go like that. Just grind the whatever chili or pepper or what. Oh, I do until so skillful I can stand out. Then I hold on to a rope. Then I can just do that. So I learned all this because that time that was the condition. Then to them, sitting on the floor is a very natural posture, you know that. But we all, through civilization, sitting on a chair is a very natural posture. Suddenly ask you to sit on the floor. There's a lot of people cannot initially. They find it so difficult. Then you cannot. If it's not natural, why do you force yourself? But because they say the Buddha also sit like that. That's why I also want to learn to sit like that. Nothing wrong if you know how to sit and relax. That's why I say you have to meditate with understanding. When you meditate with understanding, you become different. That's why don't be like people who meditate without understanding, lack of confidence. That's why they're very scared. What must I do? Because you don't understand. But when you understand, you are full of confidence. Even people question you, so what? That was what I did during my early days. I go into retreat and also I meditate on my own. Then when the interview come, I tell him exactly what I do. Then they look at me, then they are quiet. I don't know why. They didn't ask further. Then some, they are very curious about what I experienced. Then they try to find out more. So everyone is different. You cannot have one size fit all. Because method and technique is just a skillful means to train the mind. It has got nothing to do with the meditation. The meditation is about training your mind to be heedful, to be mindful, and stabilizing it to be ever mindful, to meditate, to develop the wisdom, to cultivate the Noble Eightfold Path, which includes the four foundations of mindfulness. That is the real meditation. That's why you must have mindfulness in the midst of life. Then only you are heedful in the midst of life. Otherwise, when you are in a formal meditation, only you can be peaceful and calm. You are not even mindful or heedful. Then the rest of the day, when you are back to your home or to society, you are heedless most of the time. So what did the Buddha say in the Dhammapada verse 21? Heedlessness is the path to the dead. The heedless are as if dead. So what are you doing? That's why you have to train your mind to be heedful, ever mindful, to develop the wisdom, to cultivate the Noble Eightfold Path, which includes the four foundations of mindfulness. And that is the real meditation. So when you understand all this, then you will understand the essential Dhamma, and you will see how they are all interconnected. Then they actually explain in another way by Krishnamurti, but you reach the final same understanding. So quiet mind and simple mind is something that is very important. Okay, so now I'll read through the whole quote one more time. Hopefully by now you can get the meaning more clearly. Quiet mind, simple mind. When we are aware of ourselves, it's not the whole movement of living, a way of uncovering the me, the ego, and the self. The self is a very complex process that can be uncovered only in relationship, in our daily activities, in the way we talk, the way we judge, calculate, and the way we condemn others and ourselves. All that reveals the conditioned state of our own thinking. And is it not important to be aware of this whole process? It is only through awareness of what is true from moment to moment that there is self-discovery of the timeless, the eternal. Without self-knowledge, the eternal cannot be. When we do not know ourselves, the eternal becomes a mere word, a symbol, a speculation, a dogma, a belief, an illusion to which the mind tries to escape to. But if one begins to understand the me in all its various activity from day to day, then in that very understanding, without any effort, the nameless, the timeless come into being. It come into being spontaneously. Huh? But the timeless is not a reward for self-knowledge. That which is eternal cannot be sought after. The mind cannot acquire it because it's beyond thought, beyond mind. It comes into being when the mind is quiet. And the mind can only be quiet when it is simple. When it is no longer storing up, condemning, judging, weighing. It is only the simple mind that can understand the real or the truth. Not the mind that is full of words, knowledge, and information. Not the mind that analyzes and calculates. The mind that analyzes and calculates is not a simple mind. So this is a very important J. Krishnamurti quote. Eh? So with this, we end. Eh? You got any question or not? You still got 10 minutes. Yeah, 9 minutes, 8 or 9 minutes. If you got any question, you can ask. Yes. Yeah, so I got this. Mindful or mindful. So this is a cartoon, a picture. You see, when your mind is full of thinking, full of all this delusion and conditioning, the mind full, MIDFULL. But when you are mindful, your mind is silent, quiet. It's not full of things. So this one is a sweet and sweet of presenting the difference.
Actually, I got this cartoon. There are two beings taking a walk. The man and the dog. The man, as they walk, they see the trees, and then where the tree comes from. The dog just see the tree and the sunset.
So they are trying to create a picture way of letting you to understand. But the actual training is different from all this. It's not like that. Because when you are mindful, when you are aware, you are silent, there is no picture, nothing. No word, nothing. You're just silent. That's why awareness, Krishnamurti defined as what? Silent, choiceless awareness of? Of what? Of what is, of the reality. No word. So last time I got one teacher, he's from another tradition. When we all Buddhists, we always talk about mindfulness. You know what he said? He said, Theo, do you know, when I first met you, when you keep on saying that word mindfulness, I thought you were crazy. But later I understood what you mean. He said, awareness is awareness, no thought. He said, how can it be mindful? And mindfulness, full of what is it? Full of thought. I said, no. I said, the mind in fullness. That is a difference. No? What is the mind in fullness? Full of awareness. Understand? No thought. He said, like that, correct. That's why when people don't understand, because he said, how can you have a mind when you are aware? When you are aware, there is no the condition arising mind, the thinking mind, the mundane mind is not there at all. That's why he's just aware. Then the Buddhists have to coin a word for sati, because they cannot comprehend what sati is. So they use this word mindfulness. Mind in fullness. Fullness means what? It doesn't explain anything there. Full of thought, then it's not mindfulness. Mind in full awareness. But he never used that word awareness. So that's why mindfulness is a Buddhist word coined out to replace sati. But the more appropriate is just, the more correct word is just awareness. When you are just aware before the knowing, that is sati. Then when sati arises, you can develop clear comprehension. Then that one becomes different. Sati sampajana. Mindful and or aware and develop the clear comprehension of everything that is going on. That's why there is comprehension, means there is understanding. That's why the fourth type of clear comprehension. So that one is very useful. The first clear comprehension, you can recall now. What is the first clear comprehension? What is the first one? Sincerity of purpose. Means you must know, you cultivate this four foundation of mindfulness. Why do you want to develop this understanding? Means sincerity of purpose. Means you just want to develop the wisdom to awaken, to understand. Not for psychic and all those things. That's like sincerity of purpose. So when you have clear comprehension of that, every time you develop the four foundation of mindfulness or daily mindfulness, you have that clear comprehension, so you don't debate, you don't get yourself into trouble. Then second one is what? Clear comprehension of what? Domain of meditation. It means you don't give yourself silly excuse. I got no time to meditate, I need to work. Then I have to wait till I retire, then only I can spend more time. But the domain of meditation is what? You can meditate anywhere, any place, any time. Even when you are working. Even when you are in the midst of life. That's what meditation is all about. That's why sati is mindfulness in the midst of life, in the here and the now. Then the third one is what? Suitability. Means the people, the time and the place, the most important people or the people around you where you can help or do something about. then the place is here. Most important, here and now in this moment. That's why suitability of locality. The people. So all this, you will develop clear comprehension. Then the last one is what? Non-delusion. Means you are not deceived or deluded by the defilement of insight. You will not be complacent. You will not be trapped in it. So all this clear comprehension will prevent you from debating or sidetracking your meditation. Then all this will bring about clear understanding later on, so that you can develop this cultivation appropriately with understanding. Okay? Any question? So far, is it clear? Do you have anything that you want to clarify? Anything that you want to clarify or develop further understanding? So with this, now hopefully when you meditate, don't go and analyze so much. Don't go and do all those things. So make your mind quiet and simple. Is it easy to develop the understanding this way, quiet and simple? But you go and check and try. With your habitual tendency, very fast you go back to your old way. I realize a lot of meditators, after you explain already, when they meditate, they go back to the old way. Then they come and ask you the old question again. But till when I meditate, like that, how? Correct? Every time the question is, then what must I do? I keep on having to repeat. You meditate with what? Understanding. Do you understand what you do? What are you supposed to do? Then only they remember, I'm supposed to be heedful. I'm supposed to train my mind. Then what am I doing? I'm not doing any of these things. I'm again back to the old way. That's why if you continue like that, you will find it very difficult to progress. But when you are very clear, that's why I say you write it out. What is it that you're supposed to do in meditation? First, you must understand what is meditation, isn't it? Meditation is to strive on with heedfulness. Train your mind to be heedful, like the Buddha said. Heedfulness. This is the most important. So what is heedfulness? Apamadena, sampadeta. Heedfulness is to be ever mindful to cultivate noble eightfold path. And this is awareness-based. So ever mindful, you have to start to train your mind. In the midst of life, you have to have this mindfulness. So that's why you start with formal meditation. If you cannot be mindful and heedful in the midst of life, means you have not trained. Means in the formal meditation, you also cannot do it. Then how can you be mindful in the midst of life? Formal meditation is easier. Understand? Your senses are not fully engaged. Your senses are mostly down. We are in a retreat condition. Everybody keeps the precept. The environment, the setting is very conducive. So most of the time you are more peaceful, you are more quiet. So during that moment it's very easy to train your mind to be mindful. See, train the mind to be mindful. Then stabilize it so that it is ever mindful. Then sati becomes samadhi. Then you can see things as they are. Then you can awaken, you can develop wisdom and understanding. And this is how you meditate with a silent mind. You cannot meditate with a talkative mind. That's not a very complicated and kepo mind. Kepi mind. Very kepo. Kepo means what? Everything also want to know. Everything also want to ask. Clear not? When you see somebody, very kepo, you know, they tell you, hey, your neighbor, how? Just now this person, what? They keep on telling you things. So when you meditate with a kepi mind, it's the same inside there. I do like that correct. What did Brother Theo say? What did the Buddha say? How should I meditate? How can I understand it? Instead of inquiry, you create a lot of thinking. When you meditate, you just meditate. Just silent, relax, aware. Then follow the four support. Then train your mind to be silent, to be mindful. If the hindrance are still there, decondition it. Then develop the mind supreme matter to decondition it. Then develop metta to bring about inner peace leading to inner well-being. And then that mind become mindful, silent. And then stabilize it through any method or technique, anapanasati. If you are doing that with understanding, then you know what you do. Then like there's this girl in Tuesday class, Elsie. She found the mind supreme method so beautiful, so useful, so helpful. She has so much joy nowadays and her meditation progressed so fast. She realized that was so helpful. It made her mind very calm, very quiet, very still, very silent. And now she can be in that state without thought most of the time. Yeah. And that day when she shared, you went and listened to one of these Tuesday talk, I think 2-3 sessions ago. She was so clear and so confident of what she did. And she wanted to share because she wants to benefit people so that other people can also benefit from it. So this mind sweeping method, actually she followed that blue book. You go back and read the blue book. The blue book is very good, I tell you. Maybe one day we should go through. But I never go through that book with you all. Ever since it was printed. That's why in the Klang talk and that day, that was it the Tuesday class or the Thursday class? I said, you all very pampered, some of you. After transcript come out, still want me to read it out to you. Don't even want to spend time reading it and understanding it. But it's okay if I read out and share, easier to comprehend. If I don't read out, I realize, when you all read the transcript, especially if you are not serious and you don't have the faith and you don't listen to the talk regularly, you are not used to my style, understand? Then you cannot get the meaning. But when I read, because that was my style, then I can actually express it very clearly. Then you can understand deeper. So I will try to go through with you all. If you find it better, you let me know. But don't after that, if you are still worried to us, we no need to read. Then you don't benefit us. Then every time you wait for me to read. Sometimes you miss the class. You have to listen to the recording. Exceeded 7 minutes. So fast at the clock. Just now I got 9 minutes, now I deficit 7 minutes. Okay, so we rejoice one more time. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. We will do the sharing of merits, transfer merits. Then after that, we will make the invocation of blessing for the nation. Sharing our merits with the devas. Akasata ca bhumata deva naga mahindika punyantang anumoditva jirang rakkantu loka sasana. May all beings inhabiting space and earth, devas and nagas of mighty power share these merits and may they long protect the dispensation. Itta vata chamehi sampadan punya sampadan sabbe deva anumodantu sabba sampati siddhiya. May all beings share these merits which we have thus acquired, and may all devas rejoice and may contribute greatly to their well-being and happiness. Transfer merits to departed one. Idang menya tinang hotu sukita hontu nyatayo. Idang menya tinang hotu sukita hontu nyatayo. Idang menya tinang hotu sukita hontu nyatayo. Let these merits accrue to our departed relatives, and may they all too be well and happy always. Then we will invoke the blessing for the nation. Devo vasatu kalena sasa sampati heto cha vito bhavatu loko cha Raja Bhavatu Dhammiko. May the rainfall in due season. May there be a rich and good harvest throughout. May the world be peaceful and prosperous always. May the government of the day, the king and the rulers be righteous. Okay, you make your aspiration. Ipmina punyang kamena mame bala samagamo satang samagamo hotu yawa nivana patiya. By the grace of these merits that we have thus acquired, may we never follow the foolish, but only the wise and the enlightened one until Nibbana is realized. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, pay respect mindfully to Lord Buddha and we shall end.
Dear brothers and sisters, let us express our gratitude and respect to Bharat Thiel and Mr. Steele for coming regularly to this Thursday class to share the Buddha Dharma with all of us. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Sadhu to Brother Sui An and Sister Mi Fong for allowing us to come to their house to listen and have deeper understanding of the Buddha Dharma shared by Bharat Thiel. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Sadhu to Brother Sin Yong. What is his name? Si Yong. Brother Si Yong for fetching Brother Steele and Mrs. Steele to come to Thursday class. And sadhu to Brother Song, usually fetch Brother Steele and Mrs. Steele back home. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu.
Yeah, so you can bring the food over, then we can have a small, maybe.
Can we wish Brother Theo?
Can, tonight. They brought the cake already. for the clan people. So we thank the Kayanamitas. Sadhu. So help to bring the fruits and the food over. Bring the table out.
Oh yeah, I should take a short
after
all.
A lot.
Today one is very nice.